Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message, as we celebrate the feast of the Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, comes to us from our Old Testament lesson out of Ezekiel 37. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me and breathed into them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army. My dear friends in Christ, has there ever been a more needed time for the Spirit to come upon the world? Has the world ever looked so much like this valley of dry bones as it does now? Probably as you look at the world, you see the same thing that I see. A world that claims spirituality without the Spirit, religion without God, or no God at all. There have been lots of times in human history when the world has strayed so far from God and His Word that it simply looks dead. We live in one of those times. In a world that is almost dead, a world that seems hostile to God. We are pushed out of the public square, the church's voice unwelcome, unheard, unheeded. The world is full of dry bones. We know the breath, we know the source of life, we know the Holy Spirit, and we have a message that brings it. But the world doesn't want to listen. We live in a valley of dry bones. But don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged because the giving of the Spirit, the doing of the Spirit's work, the places where the Spirit will go and bring life are not determined by our limited view of things, our inability to see God at work. This last week, something devastating happened in Milwaukee. Trinity Lutheran Church lost most of its entire facility to a fire, including its beautiful sanctuary. It is seemingly a skeleton of its former self. And yet, you and I know that the church isn't defined by that skeleton. Beautiful as it was, wonderful as a place to gather and worship God, to know His Savior, Jesus Christ, to have the Spirit work on people's hearts. What gave those dry bones for hundreds of years in Milwaukee life wasn't the facility, the building, but the Spirit. God at work through His Word. That's kind of where God is leading Ezekiel to see. He wants him to look out over this valley of dry bones and see that God could be at work. And so he says to Ezekiel, he takes him out there and he shows him this valley of dry bones, and he says to Ezekiel, "Son of man," which is how God addresses prophets in the Old Testament, "son of man, can these bones live?" Now, whatever was going on in Ezekiel's head, he gives the right answer, right? "Oh Lord, you know." Anytime you're asked a question, you're not sure of the right answer, push it back on the asker, right? John does the same thing in Revelation when he's dealing with those under the altar. "Sir, you know. Oh Lord, you know." And then God gives the command to Ezekiel to prophesy. Prophesy to these bones and command that sinews be pushed upon them and that flesh be put upon them and that skin be put upon them. And he prophesies that all that happens, but they're still not living. "Now prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the four winds, tell it to come and fill these bones now covered in flesh." And the Spirit moves and they stand and they live, a vast army. At God's command, at God's doing. That would have been an important message for Ezekiel and the people of his day. You see, they were in exile. They had been taken over into Babylon, and they were in Babylon for about 100 years, close to 100 years. And they were there, and they must have wondered, wait, God had given us this great land called Israel, this holy land that was ours, and now we're over here, and has God given up on us? Has God simply said, I'm done with you? Ezekiel and the people of Israel must have felt very much like dry bones. Can we live? Can we be God's people again? God's exceedingly vast army. And God wishes, in his graciousness, in his almightiness, to convey to them that yes, you can live. And so he gives Ezekiel this great vision of this valley of dry bones to tell Ezekiel what he could tell the people of Israel. This valley of dry bones, you heard at the very end of our Old Testament, this is the people of Israel, and they shall live. This Babylonian exile, this time away from the land which God has given you, is not the end of the story. It's not the end game. God has something better in mind. So prophesy, son of man, to these bones. Prophesy to the people of Israel. And the Spirit enters them, and they shall live. What about you? What about you as a Christian, as an individual? Do you feel sometimes dried up? Does the weight of the world fall upon you? Does your sin cause you to wonder, does God care? Does your sin dry you up? Wear you out? God speaks to you, as Ezekiel speaks to these dry bones, that you shall live. That the Holy Spirit, who has come upon you in your baptism, will reassure you time and time again as he accompanies God's word of God's grace in Christ Jesus. You shall live because you're forgiven. You are a baptized child of God. And what ties you to the day of Pentecost isn't your reading of Acts 2 today, but your baptism. Just as the apostles at the day of Pentecost received the Holy Spirit so they could speak to others and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, your baptism day was the day on which the Holy Spirit came to you, when breath entered you, when you were given life, because God loved you. And God says of you, these bones shall live, because I wish it, I desire it. You are forgiven. And you shall have life. What about the church? There are congregations across the country struggling, feeling very much like a valley of dry bones. What brings them life? The temptation is always the same. We have to do something differently. We have to somehow remake ourselves so that we can look alive. And so we come up with programs, we come up with events, we come up with weird Sundays. Take a look sometime at the weird Sundays that churches celebrate in the world, right? As if those were the things that give the church life. All of those things will end with nothingness if there is not this. The word of God preached, the sacraments received, and the Holy Spirit at work. All of those things may very well engender fellowship, a good feeling, a camaraderie, but they will not bring faith. They will not bring forgiveness, and they will not bring eternal life if they have not the word of God and His Holy Spirit. God's desire for you, God's desire for His church, is to live. God's desire is to take you when you feel like that valley of dry bones, to take His church when it feels that way, and cause it to live by His breath, by His word that is, goes out. It works wonders. It works that which God wills. And it brings us life, and it brings us forgiveness. This last week in our church, this was a busy room. This was a very busy room. We had three memorials this past week in the church. But you know what? There were lots of people that were sitting right where you are who don't normally go to church. But God was at work. Because the word of God was preached here in this place. And they heard about the eternal life that comes through Christ Jesus. And as they heard the gospel and as they heard the word, the Spirit was at work. And perhaps there was someone sitting here feeling very much like a sack of dry bones, wondering where life would come from, and the Spirit was at work. In those most sad of occasions, perhaps the most joyous of things could happen. That faith could be born by the Spirit, and therefore eternal life. We are a church who firmly gathers around God's word and sacraments because we believe that God works in them. We are a church that gathers here every Sunday morning and occasionally midweek because we believe that God truly is at work in our world. We are a church who believes that the Spirit goes out from this place through God's word to work on the hearts of those who do not yet believe. On the day of Pentecost, God set apart fishermen and tax collectors and allowed them to speak in other languages so that the word of God would go out. I don't actually know that we have any professional fishermen that are members of our church. And I don't know that any of you work for the IRS. But God has set you apart as well. God has set you apart. He has claimed you in your baptism. He has continually washed you and forgiven you in His word and sacraments. And He has equipped you to speak so that others may know Jesus Christ crucified and risen. So that they too may have the Spirit work in their hearts and believe. To God be the glory now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.